Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
If you've been enjoying our live episodes, why not come see a live recording of Drunk Women Solving Crime? Our next shows of 2019 are at the Pleasance Theatre, London, Thursday, April 25th. Tickets available at pleasance.co.uk.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I am Katie Wilkins. I am your host for this episode. Taylor's getting some glass over from over here. I'm joined, of course, by Hannah George.
Yo!
And Taylor.
Oh, no, that was far too hip. That didn't work at all. Sorry.
You can pull that off, Hannah. Maybe not. The mood is that you can't, so.
Wow. Okay.
threw you under the bus for a cheap laugh. I didn't mean it. Okay, so, as you know, this is where pina colada meets public intoxication. This is where Hennessy meets human sacrifice. This is where Bloody Mary meets actual Bloody Mary. It's a true crime podcast with a twist.
Alive!
Yeah, baby! Oh. And now, without further ado, will you please welcome our fantastic guest, actress, comedian, writer, Helen Lederer! Thank you for joining us. So, can you tell us, Helen, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yes, I have. I think probably everyone has everyone hands up.
Actually, has anyone not been a victim of a crime?
Just a few people. And that doesn't make them a victim of not being a victim. I mean, it's universal.
That's a whole new meta.
It's all egalitarian. Anyway, so my first thing
no
that happened...
Judgment.
Absolutely, let's not judge. So the first thing is quite small. Ooh. And is it better to start... Obviously, I'm in the company of great comedians. Is it better to start the small, innocuous thing and then go to the bigger one? Or have I blown it already?
No,
and my heart is a small
Taylor.
One.
Okay.
So what happened was, and I love the way Taylor does the pouring. It's very proprietal, and my glass is here. Right. So, what happened was this.
Yes.
I had watched a VHS. Now, I know everyone's very, very young, but some people might have heard of a VHS.
I totally have.
Yeah? So there was a VHS.
Fans of VHS.
In, yeah? A VHS in self-defense.
Okay.
So I had just watched this VHS in self-defense with a wonderful woman, sadly no longer with us. I belong to that generation now because I'm the only one surviving. Anyway, Lindsay DePaul. Do you remember her, anyone? Anyway, she did it, randomly did the self-defense along with other qualities to her career. But there was a self-defense thing. So bizarrely, I had watched the self-defense, which says what happens if you should, in the rare event of being attacked, please open that. It's killing me. Just open it, Taylor. Just open the bloody bottle. Oh. Yay! Well done. Anyway, so I was in a shop not far from Liberty's. That's anyway. And and I was holding, I was stressed, and I was holding my purse out because I was thinking of a lot of things. I was thinking, telegraph what my action was to be, hold the purse out in my hand because in a minute I would probably have to pay. So it's best to have the purse out. Just help. Anyway, so suddenly, because I was holding the purse, like waving it, thinking all these multiple thoughts, and then a man came up and took it. But in the VHS, Lindsay DePaul had said, when somebody does that, say, he's taking my purse! Like that. So I kind of stopped being English. And we're in this small shop, and I just said very loud, he's taking my phone, like that. Everyone, including the thief, was so shocked. The purse was dropped.
Amazing.
And then I felt very embarrassed, and everyone went about their business. But
you foiled the crime.
That didn't meet with great applause, as I'd hoped, but the point is about your programme. Thanks, one person. But I'm trying to understand that your conundrum, because crime, presumably, the assumption of crime is that somebody else has been disadvantaged, yes?
Possibly.
Right, so that isn't a total crime because the purse wasn't taken.
Okay.
To be fair, also you in the shop just holding your purse like this. Yes. Like I'd have stolen it. Like,
Hannah.
You, I mean, I don't want to
Hannah,
victim
you're
blame.
Right. No, you are the one that will always pick up. You are so observant. And it was a mad moment. Why would anyone wave their purse around? But it was just a mental journey I was going through. Anyway,
yep.
So here's the real thing.
Yeah.
This is a real thing. So about 15 years ago, I had an agent.
Okay.
I expect you all have agents. It's a joyful world. and anyway, what happened was suddenly somebody else phoned me up from the agency and told me that that agent had stolen all my money.
What?
And you know when you're not expecting something, it's like when somebody just says, oh, by the way, the world is flat, did you know, or something. You just go, oh, I didn't actually, thanks. So this was the thing. I was just like not prepared for this information.
Whoa.
And it was a bit of a tricky time in my life. Da la la, won't bore you all, but And I thought 30,000, because also actors in the olden days, not you guys, because you are autonomous, like strong women, and I love it. And I'm from an older generation. I didn't read my bank statements because I was just so shit. Anyway, so I had done a particular job. Do you remember that? There might be an old person in the room. there was a program on antiques where you had to comment on them. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, what was it called? No, even before that, somebody very helpfully said Antiques Roadshow in a nice, brisk
voice. The Antique Roadshow?
Yeah, it was a precursor to the one that person kindly suggested. Anyway, I had to travel up to Birmingham. I was a single parent. It wasn't easy. Anyway, pause for sadness.
So, Birmingham, guys. Birmingham.
Tough.
Far.
Tough place to work. Anyway, so you had to kind of hold up an antique and go, wow, spoons, and then just do that. And it was one of the jobs you have to do. Anyway, so what happened was, oh, my God, this agent, the person stole the money.
Yeah.
And then what happens when a person steals money is that then there's a thing called a liquidator, and all us actors, like gypsy actors, had to go into this. It was so embarrassing. We had to go to a hotel, face the thieving agent, and she was there obviously trying to look humble, because what else would you look if you'd just stolen? Humble is good. And then, because we're all actors going, oh, this is crazy, this is really crazy, but I'm going, no, that's so... And the main people, I was the bottom of the top, story of my life. And so the top people were all in the news because they had more money to have been stolen.
Wow, by the same woman.
Anyway, so what happened was then, in this was just bizarre, liquidators, accountant people in a hotel, person who'd stolen money, actors thinking, this is fucking funny, oh shit, it's not, fuck, I don't know what I look supposed to be. And then, do you remember something called Police Nine or Police... Oh, God, what was his name? You wouldn't know. There's no way the people here would know. Taylor. Thank you. I love this audience. Oh. I love this. Sean Taylor and a man who'd been...
Pinocchio!
No. But
I'm out.
A very good guess for the listeners. I did a nose thing, which is not personal.
Gerard Depardieu.
Someone in Neighbours.
Now we're talking.
Recently in the public eye for not...
Stefan Dennis.
No, I didn't know that person.
Harold Bishop.
No, a Neighbours person. Just go with this.
Jim
anyway,
Rangel.
So it was the man that man said... And a neighbour's person and me were the only people that put our hands up and asked the person quite a genuine question, like, why did you steal our money?
Wow.
Ooh. And then...
What was the
Because that was £30,000.
Yeah, that's loads.
And people don't earn that now, do they? I don't... I'm looking at you, but... No. I mean...
correct.
It's not personal. No. Generally, people don't earn... I love you. Generally, people don't earn that much money. No. And so it was a lot of money to go, and yeah. It was just a charade anyway. And
what
then
did they say? Yeah, what was the question?
So she just looked humble, and we all just said. And so three people, at least I did that, and I just said the simple question: so why did you steal it? Which I thought was sensible.
That's a good question.
Did you do it with that much sass? Because I'm
less.
Loving that. Oh,
no, less. Why it's in the telling. Hannah, it's in the telling. Less. And at the end of the day, Equity got half of it back. Oh. And then I did a really embarrassing thing in OK Magazine that obviously people don't probably in the room read. And I got some of it back again. And then other people said, oh, I think you've made a mistake there. I thought, no, I got the money back. So... That's my story, but I don't think there's a journey there other than people steal money.
Well, no, see, but that's good because also one of the things we ask people on this
podcast... I love you.
Podcast,
please rationalise this.
Well, one of the things we ask people on this podcast is what would you say to the person now? And you actually got to say to the person, why did you fucking
Clever
steal
you.
This money?
Yeah. Well, I didn't say fucking because it was just a few years ago and I didn't know how to do that, but... I just think now, actually, weirdly, in hindsight, I don't really have any animosity or... Because I'm old now, you just go, oh, fuck it, just do it. Just do it, just get on, just crack on. There must have
I might
been,
become an Asian. Just this crack sounds on. Amazing.
So I don't have that
You're
anger.
You're angry with them now.
I don't have the anger for that anymore. And there must have been a reason. And you just go, oh, well, so we just kind of regroup and... On she goes. I think she was banned for 10 years.
Wait, so did she go to prison?
No, there was a question of that. And I wouldn't have wanted... Would you have wanted? She had a child. Oh, my God. And then I'd feel responsible. I'd go, oh, my God, I have to visit her. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. The money didn't matter. Please, can I do anything for you when you come out? You know, the whole thing. So
That's
you don't...
So funny.
Life is hard. So you don't want punishment, especially when... it's
so
a nightmare.
You have empathy for this thief. Agent.
I have empathy now because you go at the end of the day, she probably didn't want to steal the money. But it was a shock at the time.
Do you know why she did? Was she
well, probably because she didn't have any. It's just one of those things. I don't know. It's a guess. I don't know.
It's a good motive.
But
so she was banned for 10 years.
So
but
she,
that's
she,
what
she,
they
she
do.
She's an agent again now.
Can you imagine
back.
Being the next clients that sign yep. with this person? Oh. Like, I don't know if you've heard of me. I work really hard for my clients.
Yeah, it's on your CV.
Sometimes.
Well, it's an interesting thing about sort of forgiveness and moving forward and repatriation. Not and then just thinking, well, people do things when they do things, but that was a long time ago, and gosh, I flourished since.
Well, that is a very zen response to crime,
that
and
is.
It got solved. Cheers,
cheers, it's Ellen.
Cheers.
Cheers, right. This story involves blackmail. Yes, ooh, indeed. A woman going by the name of Madam Rachel was black.
Yeah. I can pause for all of the oohs that we're going to get.
It's not usually what follows madam.
Well, strap in.
Madam, biblical name.
Okay, so Madam Rachel was blackmailing a woman called Mary Tucker Borrowdale. Question, what do you think she could have been blackmailing her about? Don't worry, whatever you've dropped, it's fine. Mm-hmm.
Well, I imagine, I mean, you don't get yourself called Madame if you're not spanking a few people.
Yeah. or Hannah, could it be that she was just merely French?
She could be French. And what is worse?
Awesome.
And I would venture that Venn diagram intersects quite a bit. So you're both right.
I think we've crossed the line to actual racism.
They don't get to be their own race. Come on.
Right. Nationally, I don't, anyway. Right. I'm going to move swiftly on. She was blackmailing her about money. So Mary Tucker Borrowdale owed Madam Rachel lots of money. Anyone got any ideas as to how she could have racked up such a debt? What do we think Madam Rachel's job was?
Agent.
Agent!
Yay!
Yes!
I love the interaction you have with your life. It gives so many more layers. And it always comes back to agent, actually. Can I just say the answer is agent.
Yeah, if anyway. In doubt, agent.
Yeah.
Any move on agent?
I still think she's like a dominatrix.
Okay,
so it's not a brothel. It's not a brothel?
Well, no.
I don't know how you'd owe your madam money.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Madam Rachel was a beautician, and her nickname was, in fact, the beautician from hell.
Do not go to that beautician!
Is this in, like, Lee Green in London? Or I just need to kind of place it to help me.
I'll message you. No.
Okay, fine.
So we haven't guessed the era yet, but they say all PR is good PR. She's very good at Halloween makeup. But so Madam Rachel was actually blackmailing lots of women, but most of these women were too afraid to take Madam Rachel to court because it meant being exposed to ridicule and social humiliation for getting beauty treatments. So, which leads me to ask, what year do we think this is?
2019.
Exactly. Well, no, that's not the right answer.
Oh.
But it fucking could be, right?
Like. Well, no, that's not helpful. I mean, that's, what do you mean by that? So it's not that, but it could be. No. Could we have a clue?
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, I'll go you one better. I
Thank
will
you.
Tell you. It is. It is 1868. It is the Victorian era.
Ooh.
I thought it might be actually. I didn't know.
Literal one. So it sounds like Federer. That's good. Anyway, carry on.
Victorian times. Yeah.
So it's a shameful time to admit that your beehive is not totally natural.
Basically. And fun to know that the ritualized humiliation of women is indistinguishable to how we live today. But
is that an add-on? Sorry to keep interrupting. Is that like a kind of rider bibliography? What does that mean, that last comment? So to connect.
This is going to be so fun.
Sorry. I just need to understand the assumptions of today and connecting with Victorian times. Both Hannah, throw something at me. Can you just throw some light on the connection?
I think we're being facetious.
I'll stop there then.
So some of this is facts and some of it is us making fun of the facts.
And conjecture in a humorous way. Sorry.
It's like Katie's trying to get a PhD and she's sitting on the panel.
I'm sorry, I just need you to explain your thesis at this point.
But to elaborate further on your point and your point, the context of the Victorian era with regards to beauty is it was considered very embarrassing to go to a beautician in the Victorian era because they had very strict rules on how women were supposed to behave, which is so unlike how we are today. The Victorians did have makeup. They had quite limited makeup. They had black kohl for the eyes. They had red lipstick. Face powder, but it was only really worn by, and I quote,
I'm just going to turn the glasses for visual.
Why?
Just because of the lipstick stains. Just to, again.
Is it an eyesore?
That we're all wearing makeup. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it's a point. Oh, I love you. God, you're really helpful.
For a podcast, that's really great work.
Thanks.
That is my...
Oh, thank God. Thank God for Taylor.
That is both distracting and pointless.
I mean, what's the point? Anyway.
Okay, so... but, okay, so... Short of it, this is... The Victorians felt that makeup was only really worn by, and I quote, actresses, prostitutes, and loose women. So, cheers, yeah. Like, no offence, everyone, but the Victorians think you're all a bunch of whores.
Oh, no.
So-called respectable women did not wear makeup, and Queen Victoria herself was said to be disgusted by the idea of women wearing cosmetics. But at the same time, there was also a massive pressure on women to look young and beautiful and all of that jazz. So far, so familiar, a catch-22 situation that most chicks are used to recognising. Fun fact, just real quick as well. The case that we're going to be talking about famously exposed two things. Number one, how much women are prepared to pay for makeup. Like the average housewife, not the hose. And... because there was a difference, such a distinguished difference. And it also, the second thing it exposed was shitloads of anti-Semitism. Which is super fun case.
That's quite a quick leap. I'm just slow because I've had so many Proseccos. But I take your, I trust you all. You're brilliant.
Okay.
Crack on. Crack on.
So it's...
Thank you, Detective Lederer.
It's 1968. It. Madame Rachel is blackmailing women to keep the secret of their filthy, filthy vanity.
1868.
Thank you. Thank God you're here.
Yeah. Thank God you're here. Because I'm drunk.
So we're in 1868, right? Is that clear?
Yes, it's 1868.
Wait, why?
No, because the audience need to know. There's a confusion.
We're all. It's the Victorian era. That's all we really need to
I'm so sorry, but why is this unearthing anti-Semitism? I missed this connection.
We will get to that. Basically,
you're just
like
sprinkling some fairy dust.
She's seeding it.
I love that anti-Semitic.
Stay tuned for the racism, guys.
Yeah,
it's a random seed.
Okay, no one's saying anything because they don't want the social humiliation and shame and being ruined. But Mary Tucker Borodell is different. She's the widow of an army colonel. She had enough of this shit. She bravely risks humiliation and she sues Madam Rachel for fraud and malpractice.
Ooh.
Do we think this ends well for little Mary Tucker Borodell? No, it does not.
It's never good when Katie calls somebody little. When she shrinks them, that's the vulnerability.
They're gone. So, yes, her reputation was ruined. The newspapers and tabloids had an absolute field day with the story. It ended up being such a big story that it was actually impossible for Madame Rachel to find a fair jury for her trial. But before we talk more about that, how did it come to this? How did this Victorian-era hustler manage to exploit vanity for profit so successfully? Who is Madame Rachel? Is that even her real name? No, obviously not. We're going to take this back to the beginning. So her real name is Sarah Rachel Russell.
Oh.
She was born... Go on.
Sorry, no. I was going to jump in. No, pass. Move on. All right.
No worries.
Might have been anti-Semitic. That's why I paused. Sorry.
Good instincts.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm older than you. I have them. Go.
Okay. So Sarah Rachel Russell was born to a Jewish theatrical family in the East End of London around 1814. She grew up poor and was actually illiterate. Gets through a couple of husbands. They leave her, blah, blah, blah. None of that's important for our story. And then...
Well, it was probably quite relevant to her at the time, but that's just an aside. It's an aside.
I mean, she's
got... We've all suffered.
She's got baggage. But basically, she then lived with and took the surname of a man called Philip Levison. They didn't marry, but he was the father of six of her children. So now she's Rachel Sarah Levison.
And can you just take the surname of someone you're fucking?
Well,
could you? I mean, that's like pretty full on, isn't it? Like, if you just got one Tinder date and you're like, I'm known as Hannah Smith now. That is a lot.
But also, I mean, like, they had six kids together. So at some point, there's got to be a conversation. What is this?
No, but it has to be legal. No, Hannah, sorry, I am a magistrate in my other life. And I can offer some legal input here.
Are you actually a magistrate?
Yeah. No.
Oh, we got a professional.
No, I'm trying to estimate irony 5 drinks down, which is failing. I suspect that if you have sex with someone, you don't automatically take their surname. I mean, just a thought. Anyway, crack on.
Okay, no. Let the record show that is noted. Right, so apparently what she lacked in formal education, she more than made up for with street smarts. Now, initially, she had a fried fish and potato stall, which I think...
I love the way you talk. I love it. It's so authoritative. And we're just cracking on with it. We're just accepting everything. I love it.
I've just never heard a segue from like, shit, street smarts.
Exactly. Fried fish and potato stall. She knew what the people on the street wanted.
If she's doing fish and chips back in the 18th century, though, like, or 19th?
Because 19th century. Yeah. Fish and chips is meant to be this quintessentially British dish, and it's not. It's actually an import. But yeah.
The audience have marked that.
Set your faces to stun.
Yeah.
There's some more shit like that coming,
Are you
I
just going to take that?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So... yeah. She had this stall, blah, 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 fried stuff. she wanted to do the more lucrative kind of beauty stuff.
I know I might be annoying. This is my last interruption.
Never.
So there's a thing from fried stuff to beauty.
Yeah.
It's just quite seamless.
It's a leap.
You do the fried stuff and then you work into Brazilians and eyebrows. Okay, fine. Sorry, it's just a point.
No.
Crack on. I'm not going to say another thing till we get
Helen,
to the point.
You make
the
an excellent
No, I want
point.
The question. I'm so excited.
It is a leap. And she knew it was a leap, and that is why she came up with a plan.
Okay.
Like the X Factor, she decided she needed a sob story to help her sell.
Oh, I see. That's funny. That's good. I don't watch it.
So, what do we think her sob story could have been?
Come on, you two.
Right.
You're a team.
Sorry, what was she selling?
What's a sob story, Hannah?
I'm what just picturing you at any gig, like, oh, yes, very good. Very good. Oh, I see what you did there.
So
a little callback, didn't you?
Was that she claimed that she'd been ill with a fever, and that her beautiful locks were shorn, a medical man told her he would give her a lotion which would not only make her hair grow back, but even more beautiful and luxurious than before. And of course, the product worked, and ta-da, look at her luscious hair. So she lies that she's had all her hair cut off and it's grown back with an amazing miracle hair lotion.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So do you think that worked?
Yes.
Yes, it did.
Wait, so she was like, had the hair, and then went home, and then came back again, and was like, it's all come back!
Well, no, so she just literally, she set up a store with a load of bottles of lotion, and she said, like, X amount of weeks ago, I had no hair, but now it's all luscious and grown back by the lotion that does this to your hair.
I mean, you just sound like an infomercial.
As
you speak.
She was an early infomercial.
Oh my God, she was like, this is how Rogaine got started.
What's that? What's that thing you just
Rogaine.
Said? Yeah, what is that?
Don't you have Rogaine here?
Well, I've lived
Regaine?
Here for a few years.
Do you call
years.
It Regaine? Do you call
what
it Cluedo?
It? Oh, like...
Biscuits.
I don't know what
Petrol.
It is.
Petrol. Tell me when I hit on it.
Fish and
the
chips.
Boot of a car.
Right. This plan works so well that Sarah Leveson was launched into the beauty business and she swiftly became Madame Rachel. Oh. With the help of her oldest daughter, also named Rachel, like, get some new fucking names. She wrote a pamphlet about beauty. It was 24 pages, but it could only be purchased mm-hmm. exclusively at Madame Rachel's. And she changed premises and she got a place in Bond Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
It went so well. So, fun fact, by the way, as well, in the 19th century, you guys like being bombarded with science, right? That's fun for everyone. In the 19th century, cosmetics were a lucrative growth business. This is when Rimmel, the company Rimmel, was founded. And the advent of daily newspapers and the increase in literacy meant that there were new ways to find the masses with advertising. So although Madame Rachel had no formal education, she was a natural, apparently, when it came to marketing her products. So she had advertised all her exotic-sounding stuff in publications like The Times of London mm-hmm. and The Court Journal and Debrett's Peerage, where her target audience of wealthy women would see them and become intrigued. And she moved to Bond Street, blah, blah, blah. One of the things she did was she jacked up the prices. When she moved to Bond Street, she made it super expensive.
For her products?
Yeah. So she also made outlandish claims about who her other clientele were. Who do you think she claimed were clients?
Oh, go on. You two know. You two. I bet you know.
I mean, I'm very up on 19th century celebrities. So who was famous? Like, a magician? Victoria, maybe? Queen Victoria, was she around?
Yes, she actually did claim that Victoria, even though Queen That's Victoria good. Famously hates makeup. She
oh, that was my only guess.
So Victorians were supposed to just, they weren't allowed, women weren't supposed to use makeup. They had to wash with soap and water and fresh air. They weren't allowed, they were supposed to be exposed to fresh air, but not too much dancing because it gave an undignified flush to the cheeks. That was one of the rules. There was such a hostility to makeup that most women concocted their cosmetics at home using homemade recipes with ingredients such as arsenic.
Oh, whoa. No.
Yeah. So
arsenic again.
Arsenic is bad.
I'm going to name my first child arsenic.
But you see, Madame Rachel
you can call them Nick or Arse.
Please, can I just, I have to just interrupt. Please, could you not do that, Hannah?
Okay. Life advice with Helen Lederer. Thanks. Thank
trust
you.
Trust me, I've been okay. there. Don't do that. Crack on.
I like you the way you take charge. You're promoted.
No, because I need to... Because there's so many sociological observations about society, but I'm trying to get back to Rachel and her crime
okay.
and understand, because you're also clever and I need to understand what happened okay. quite urgently.
So... What it was, so basically all the women are at home making their own shitty makeup with arsenic, but Madame Rachel, she's got all this fancy stuff. You don't have to make do with homemade arsenic. You can just have all her fancy stuff, but it costs shitloads of money. One of the one of my favourite things that Madame Rachel did was she claimed that she and her daughters were much older than they were as proof of how well her products worked. So I was like, can you believe it? I'm 91. You're like 12. It's a miracle. And, oh, one of the sources that I read about this, by the way, like, was so impressed with Madame Rachel that it, like, declared, oh, if she was alive today, she'd be the CEO of a company and a global advertising firm. And honestly, my reaction to reading this was like, no, she wouldn't. Like, there's still way too much sexism. She'd, like, some fucking bro would steal her idea and then mansplain it back to her and then be like,
I thought anyway. Women actually, I thought that was the one industry that women were allowed to sort of
maybe
be dominant, right? You mean?
Yeah.
There, women are allowed to do women stuff.
Yeah.
So women would arrive at Madame Rachel's.
I wear Madame Rachel for that brothel look.
There is a certain look, actually.
My cheeks are flushed like I've just seen a client.
So they would arrive heavily veiled so that no one would know that they were getting beauty done. And then they were surrounded by luxury. There was all like incense and stuff.
Incest?
Like, no.
Incense. So Hannah,
white.
Focus.
Coming out. Like, okay, sorry. It's a trigger word.
Her milkshake brought all the chicks to the secret yard. And she did house calls for extra discretion. At this point, she's making bank. What high status things do we think she might have bought or spent her money on?
Did she grind up gold dust?
Did she get a horse and carriage?
Yes, she bought two horses, plural.
Whoa.
And she had a box in Covent Garden. Besides sending her kids to go to school to have the education that she never had. So one of her sons was like at medical college. I know, right? Nice mum. Team Rachel. Yeah, one of her sons was studying to be a doctor in London. The others are in Paris. Right.
What about all the Rachels? Did she send the little Rachels to school?
Well, I think the oldest Rachel is having to help her. She's missed the boat for education. But anyway, the
old 90-year-old Rachel with the amazing skin exactly. doesn't need an education.
Do you want to hear about the treatments?
Yes,
yes, please.
Okay. She offered an array of treatments, luxurious with luxurious and exotic names. I'm just going to read you a list of some of the treatments now. Rejuvenating Jordan water, which sold for 10 to 20 guineas a bottle, which is about £1,000 today.
Whoa.
And she told everyone that it was water from the River Jordan in Israel, which, frankly, you cannot disprove. She had circadian golden hair wash.
Sorry, what is circadian? Sorry, I can't let that pass.
Okay.
A longer word. I just need a clarification.
Luckily, I anticipated this and I Googled it.
Oh, Katie.
So Circassia was a place eventually taken over by Russia and famous for its beautiful women who were supposed to make great concubines in the Ottoman Empire. There's more to it than that.
So it's a Russian thing about hair.
Yeah, they basically ended up... There's loads of poetry and art about these women because they were so good at boning and they were so pretty. So why wouldn't you want their hair? They're really good at fucking. Like, let's all copy
them.
It's
kind of all we ever want, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be like the best concubine?
Yep.
So one of the other things, there was magnetic rock dew for removing wrinkles. And you're right not to laugh at that because that one is actually allegedly from the Sahara Desert. That's what that's famous for, the water and its rocks.
And are they effective?
Well, do you know what? Most of them are just water and bran, it turns out.
Oh, okay.
But there was Royal Arabian Face Cream. There was honey of Mount Hymettus, which is this mountain range in Greece that had this amazing honey. I don't even think that one sounds that mad because we're all obsessed with Manuka honey now. I think a lot of these people would still fucking buy today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, there's oils and spices. There was one, actually, that was the most sought-after treatment. So it's something she called enameling, which doesn't sound good. It cost 20 guineas, 1 to 2 grand today.
Whoa.
People wanted a white porcelain complexion like Queen Elizabeth. But they wanted it not just on the face, they wanted the bosom and the shoulders.
The
too.
Bosom?
The bosom?
Yeah, it's called the bosom, you guys. Look it up.
Is that like the bosom?
I thought it was bosom.
Okay.
I mean, I've never heard bosom.
Actually, bosom, I'm just going to be so anal just because I'm drunk, but I'm going to fucking do it. I am just going to be really boring and pedantic and left field that people will be quiet when I say the thing because it doesn't connect, which is my thing, which is bosom is a place in Chichester, which is a sailing town. And I'm just saying that, okay? And I'm just saying that as a point because I'm here once.
Okay. You would have regretted that if you hadn't said it.
Huge reaction. I think some of them are in.
Sometimes I play to the audience.
Okay. Basically, she used various lotions to remove facial hair and then an alkaline toilet wash. And then she'd fill in the lines and depressions of the face with a thick paste.
Wait, alkaline toilet wash?
I know, no further questions. And then there was a little powder to set the pace and then a touch of blush and then hubba hubba, porcelain face. So, question, do we think that she stayed in her lane or branched out of beauty?
Fucking hell, like fish and chips, beauty. Like, what did she, like, open a prison or something?
Realistic.
Like, where did she go from there?
Okay, yeah. She gets a side hustle as a marriage broker.
Ooh.
So lonely widows and spinsters would come to her for treatments, and then she would, like, start trying to pretend that she could set them up.
Oh, she's like Tinder?
Dudes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She saw a lot of holes in the market.
So what did you both just say with the last point? What was the thing that we've agreed? No, because
I'm
behind.
She's starting a dating agency.
She's got a side hustle as a dating agency.
She's dating.
Thank you.
Agency.
And she was accused of something slightly kinky. I won't get you to guess it. I will just tell you what it is.
Can we guess it?
Go on, guess it.
Is it butt stuff? I just love that expression, butt stuff. No. Just the expression.
Was it a woman having an orgasm?
Oh, it's a bit old fashioned, isn't it? Mm.
I like
your clarity, though, because that brings us back to the answer, probably, does it?
I mean, in a way, she would encourage her clients to have an Arabian bath and then men would pay money to spy on them through a peephole.
Oh!
Oh my God.
Love me a peephole.
Her most profitable side hustle was blackmail.
Right. What, blackmail or going blackmail? Back to the... Sorry. No, because I went from the peephole. Oh God.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You're in genres. It's fine. These are all genres. It's fine.
Okay. Blackmail.
So, her treatments cost a fortune. The upper class clients ended up in debt up to their eyeballs. I'm afraid I have to give you a tiny little fun bit of history. Until the Married Women's Property Act in 1882, a married woman had no money of her own unless she had a forward-thinking daddy that specified in her dowry that she was to have an income. So just to clarify, he has to be forward thinking to put that in a dowry, but still want to sell her as chattel. So he's like, I've tried sushi and here is the dowry when I sell my daughter, as if she were property. Anyway.
I love the way you connect like epochs. Crack on.
Thank you.
Are you a reviewer? I feel
I'm just keen to learn about the young generation of feminism wave 3. I love it. No, it's sincere. Crack on.
When you have to say it's sincere. I'm not sure. I really like your dress. It's sincere.
No. Hannah, well documented, and 3 to you. Crack on.
So basically, hashtag not all men did dowries with pin money, and they would get in loads of debt, and then they would sell jewelry, and she would take to the pawn shop, and then she was making all this money because she's got middle class school fees to pay. It's a nightmare. They were too afraid to take her to court because it meant being exposed to ridicule. But then somebody takes her to court. That's how we started this case.
Mary
Tucker Borrowdale. And then
I never forgot her. Sure, we had adventures.
So, madam,
we had segues, but I never forgot Mary.
Good for you. So she started off getting beauty treatments, and then Madam Rachel was going to set her up with this guy, and she was writing letters exclusively through her, which is a red flag.
Don't shit where you facial.
Yeah. But it was all lies. And then this woman sold out her pension. She's fucked. And then basically the newspapers had a field day with the story because it was so embarrassing for Mary Tucker Borrowdale because she thought she was corresponding with this Viscount. And he was like a notorious rake and he'd never even heard of her. And so it was like super massive tabloid fodder. But also really this is when all the anti-Semitism came out because Madame Rachel was Jewish, and so they started publishing all these like very offensive cartoons and just apps like all the best things about England came out. So different to how we live today.
But it's so, as I was saying, it's so timely. Everything chimes. Yes. No, because you're used to doing this, because you're used to solving crimes, my problem is I can't concentrate on the detail. And by the time I come back into my consciousness, a lot's happened and I'm lost.
It's like basically it's...
Help me, Hannah.
It's like it's fish and chips. Right. It's anti-Semitism.
Thank you.
It's lipstick.
Got it.
There you go. That's what we're doing.
That's all I need to know.
This podcast could have been 2 seconds long. But basically, so it was really hard to get a fair trial, but they went through 2 trials and she got convicted. She was supposed to do 5 years, but she only did 3. And then she gets out of prison. Do you think she does the same thing again?
Yes.
Actually, yeah. 10 years later, she gets convicted again.
Don't.
Isn't that the weirdest thing about
that?
No, because it was somebody. You know when people say a quote, sorry to, because you're coming to the denouement just got to do this thing, but I know I'll forget the quote because I'm drunk. But was it Einstein? It could have been, but you're so clever, you'll correct me, that said that madness is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you'll get the same result.
Yes.
Was it Einstein? So I understand madness, oddly. So is that the same thing that's happened here?
Yeah, so basically she does it all again, and this time she gets sent, basically she dies in prison in 1880.
Oh my God, if I ever have an autobiography written, I don't want it to be by Katie. It's like she got married 6 times, whatever, fucking hell, and then she died in prison.
That's the end of the crime we saw.
Oh, jeez. That was abrupt. Ooh. That was abrupt and sad.
So now we have...
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Oh, actually, some of the products were analysed and found to contain nothing more than water, fuller's earth, pearl ash, starch and hydrochloric acid.
I'm cross now. Are you guys cross? Are you cross?
Fuming.
I am fuming as well.
Helen Lederer is fuming.
Katie, listener crime?
Yes.
We've got one from the audience.
Oh, we have?
Is the person who has a Star Wars-based crime here? Yes. Yay! Do they want to come up and share it with us? Come on.
Come on.
Come on. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a nerd coming down.
Hey, Star Wars is mainstream.
Hello, nerd. Thank you, Nigel.
It's mainstream,
Star
Hannah.
Wars. How rude.
I apologise for Hannah's rudeness.
So, my crime I wrote down was, who were the rotten shits? Who broke into our family car when we were camping and stole my Star Wars toys in 1983.
Oh, they were the really expensive ones.
Were they the same rotten shits? Who'd been throwing stones at my dad the previous day when he put the tent up.
Oh, my God. Where did you go camping?
Edinburgh.
Wow.
I know.
That, like... What somebody, time of year?
Somebody in the audience has just said, what time of year, like that's relevant.
I suspect it was summer because it was... I would have been at school. So, yeah, so they broke in and they stole all our toys and then... The next day, the police kind of knocked on the tent, which isn't easy to do. So, and they said, oh, I think your car's been your car's been broken into.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, they'd taken none of any of my other family stuff, just my Star Wars toys.
Oh, man. So,
and then so we...
So
we,
you went camping with your family, yeah. And you brought all your Star Wars gear.
Yeah.
But you left it in the car.
Yeah, because there's no room in the tent.
And that was safe
in
the
tent.
The car has locks.
That was the most
secure
place.
It was a Vauxhall
place.
Cavalier. Irrelevant detail.
So these boys are suspects because they would enjoy these toys.
So
too.
My dad was putting the tent up the previous day.
Yeah.
And they were throwing stones at him.
And
so.
Did your family go, stop throwing stones?
I think my dad told them to fuck off.
Right.
which may explain why they came back to burgle the car. Just a theory.
But did they fuck off when he told them to?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, but they came back with a vendetta.
I think they came back in the dead of night. So we drove home because that was like the end of our holiday. And then we stopped off at a service station and this woman said to my parents, why is he so sad? And they explained.
Oh my God.
And she gave me 20 pence.
Oh.
Thanks.
And did that help?
It didn't replace the toys.
No.
Who gave you the 20 pence, sorry?
A woman in a service station. Random woman in a service station.
Who heard the story?
That's so lovely.
When they broke into the car, did they smash a window?
Or yeah, they smashed one of the back windows, yeah.
Wow.
Also, I don't want to sort of like rub salt in the wound, but they would be worth so much! Like all those Star Wars toys right now.
I know. Trust me, I know.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm pretty sure a bottle of Prosecco will take away the...
Oh. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your crime. Thank you.
Here's what I know. They weren't Edinburgh natives. Nay. Edinburgh is full of wonderful people, and we will be doing the Fringe this August. And I know them to be a gentle, accepting sort who would never steal something that precious. No, these were outsiders. Probably English.
Good. But good PR, thanks,
yeah.
Taylor. So, before we end the podcast, Helen, is there anything that you would like to plug?
Well, I've not got to rush off for a gig, alas. I'm going to just be hunkering down in the bar, hopefully, if anyone else wants a group around. God, I'm drunk. Oh, thanks. So, I forget.
Is that PR in
here? Yes. My mind travels. I've set up a Comedy Women in Print Prize.
Yeah.
I was in August in Edinburgh last year, where you're going this year, and to awesome. Great acclaim. Went back to stand up after 500 years break. Rachel and I were probably in the Victorian era. Comedy Women in Print is a prize to celebrate comedy women in fiction. So we have all sorts of things, and then we're going to develop it. It's doing my head in, but it exists, and it's quite posh, and some people are being quite excited about
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Sounds amazing. Sorry.
That
sounds yeah.
That's what I've done. I can't do anything else. Just that.
Helen Lederer.
Helen Lederer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have been Drunk Women Solving Crime, and you've been fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Amazing.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acas, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.